Undressed was he, without clothes, without a home, walking the streets. Now that might sound something that you might read in the newspaper or see on the evening news, or in fact, if you live in a big city or you've traveled around Long Beach, Lakewood area, maybe you've experienced it yourself, but might sound contemporary, but actually the account that was written for us in our gospel lesson today, written quite a few years ago. You've heard it read for you. I invite you to open up your worship folders, follow along in that text in Luke. Now, of course, the passerby in this particular story is the one, the ever-present way. Jesus and his disciples had crossed over from Galilee, entered to the regions of the Gerasenes, and suddenly he is met by a demon-possessed man who for a long time had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had dwelt in the tombs. Upon seeing Jesus, he shouted while laying at his feet, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." Now, of course, after quoting the demonic, Luke records the torture that the man had endured. Many times the demons had seized the man. They chained him, but he was able to break those chains, and then he was driven into solitary places. Now, if a naked, homeless man comes up to you and starts shouting at you while you're passing by, what are you probably going to do? Well, if you're like me, you're probably going to keep passing. Maybe you might quicken the pace a little bit. But notice, what's the first thing that Jesus does? Not necessarily a rhetorical question. What does he do? He calls out his name. He brings humanity to a condition where there wasn't one for years. It's a pretty poignant and touching moment. Now, I think that Jesus is talking to the man, but it's the demon that then gives reply. We are legion. We are in charge here. And it only took a few words until those who were inside of the man realized to concede who was truly in charge. Oh, don't toss us into the bottomless pit. Don't throw us into the abyss. Anything but that. So upon their request, Jesus sends them into a herd of pigs. They promptly rush over a cliffside into the lake and are drowned. Now, if this happened in your neighborhood, you would probably come out of your house trying to figure out what the heck is going on. What is this commotion? Why are the pigs running and jumping into the lake? So the entire town comes out, and they're amazed by what they see. The man whom they know, the homeless man, the naked one who is shouting all the time, is sitting at Jesus' feet. He's dressed. He's in his right mind. He's been changed. And Luke wraps up the event, giving us a glimpse at the man's heart. You see, it was more than just the man's physical presence and appearance that was changed. His heart was also changed. As he has been made right because of the miracle of Jesus Christ, he begs to join Jesus and the disciples to go and follow him. But Jesus, in his wisdom and in his love, gives him something else. He says, "Go home." Now, at first, this might seem like the case of being all dressed up and nowhere to go. The man's finally been dressed. He hadn't been clothed in years, and now he wants to go, and Jesus says, "This is not the place or the direction." Now, maybe you've heard that phrase, all dressed up and no place to go. The earliest recorded usage of it is a tombstone in Maryland, and it reads, "Here lies an atheist, all dressed up and nowhere to go." Now, I don't know if the story is true, but C.S. Lewis heard the tale too, and he replied, "I bet that atheist wished it were true, that he had nowhere to go." But indeed, he went somewhere. Now, perhaps you've seen that phrase before. Maybe somebody has been stood up on a date, or a business person ready to give a big pitch or a presentation, and it's been canceled. In our text, Jesus really doesn't deny the man a destination, but he sends him to an alternate location. Go home and tell how much God has done for you. I think in many ways this is a story of being all dressed up. Now, where to go? The fellow freed from the foe wasn't denied the designation of a disciple. Let me go with you, he said. Jesus said, no, go home. The fellow who was freed from the foe wasn't denied that designation of a disciple. He was just sent in an alternate direction. You go that way and do what these disciples will do this way. In many ways, it's the beginning of the spreading of the gospel. It happens time and time again when Jesus encounters people like the woman at the well. Even the shepherds in the Christmas story went and told everyone what they had heard. Go and tell what God has done. Tell what God has done for you. Now, I don't know if you've heard this story, this is the first time, or you've heard it 5 times or 500 times, but let me tell you, I think this story is your story. In many ways, we are the man. The story that had its fulfillment and its completion that happened on the day that you were baptized. Today it becomes Micah's story too, as he comes to the waters of baptism. Whether you were wearing a brand new white gown, or one worn by generations at their baptisms, or maybe you were wearing something else, we all come to the waters of baptism, in all intents and purposes, naked. The biblical metaphor for our sinful condition, our natural separation from God. And at the fount, where water and word come together in a powerful and a profound way to make a transformation, we see in many ways an exorcism take place. The devil is cast away, rejected with all of his works and all of his ways, all of his threats, as well as sin's guilt. Like the pigs and the Gerasenes, it's drowned in the waters over which Jesus crosses. And in that moment, there is forgiveness. In your baptism, whether you remember it or not, sure, Micah probably won't remember this day, but I'm sure there will be pictures. I've seen the pictures of my baptism day, my mom and my aunt in their beehive hairdos. I was baptized in a gym at a junior high school in Flagstaff, Arizona. In that moment, I was transformed. In a few moments, we will see that powerful transformation again. Sins are forgiven. In baptism and in Jesus, we are freed from bondage and brokenness. The tombs that taunt us and haunt us have no power. Even when our bodies might go to the grave, our souls are saved for salvation and will be with Christ forever. It's a promise that was sealed to you in your baptism when water and word were spoken over you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, your life was changed, forever transformed. And in baptism, we rise naked no more, but robed in righteousness, adorned with the grace of God, clothed in Christ. We are now all dressed up. And maybe we might ask, now, where do we go? Let's drive ourselves back to the text. Jesus says, go home. To live, to laugh, to learn, to love, to tell others how much God has done for you. It's the life of a baptized believer, to go and to tell others how much God has done for them. that first Pentecost, there were many hundreds who were baptized, who were transformed that day. And after that day, what did they do? They went and they told others what God had done for them. From that one moment, it wasn't just 12 people moving around. It was thousands of people moving in all directions, all throughout the world. So that one day, at one point in time, you would hear that same transforming message. You would be brought to the waters of baptism. You would hear that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, you are clothed in Christ, robed in righteousness, a child of the King, an heir of salvation forever. So let me give you a little encouragement today. Let's listen to the words of Jesus and go. Go and tell what God has done for you. Go and tell it to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your coworkers. Now, Mike might not be able to talk right now. I'm sure he's pretty loud at some times, but he's not talking. At some point, he too will hear what happened here. He'll be reminded of the transformation that took place in his life. His parents, his sponsors, his family will remind him to go. To go and tell others what God has done for you. May you do the same as a baptized and forgiven, redeemed child of God this day and always. You've been dressed. Now it's time to go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for forgiving all of our sins in that life-giving flood. In the waters of baptism, our old sinful nature has been drowned and we rise with Christ to newness of life. Lord, help us now to go and to tell others what you have done. Sins forgiven, prepared for service, ready to live our lives in glory and honor to you. For you've called us your own. You've robed us with righteousness. And for that, we are profoundly thankful. Lord, we especially thank you for what Jesus has done to accomplish this by his life, death, and resurrection. We ask you now to strengthen us in love towards you and love towards one another. As we witness a baptism today, as we're fed the life-giving body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in with and under the bread and the wine, so that we are empowered to go and to tell others how much God has done for us. Lord, we thank you for this. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.